All right. Good afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia. And good day or evening to all our international listeners, too. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Time for Canada and US, for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to over 200 outlets worldwide. Before I get started, sponsors. Thank you, sponsors. Thank you for everybody that helps to keep this show going. You are part of the foundation. Thank you very much. Inspired Radio is all about change, getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo because we're breaking free from limiting systems and limiting lives, and we're embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell you how they're doing it. So let me introduce the guests today. I've got Donna and Peter here from Corruption Whistleblower. We're diving into a story that's raising big questions. They have uncovered serious wrongdoing within Australia's banking system, and they've been through hell, facing obstacles, pressure, threats, but they haven't stopped, no matter what. I last introduced them or interviewed them on the 15th of December, and they're back to share with us with what's been happening since, what's been unfolding. So let's have a conversation, and then you can decide for yourselves. Peter and Donna, thank you so much for joining me again. Welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks, Helen, for having us on your great radio station. And thank you to all the viewers for giving us their time and listening. It's
Absolutely. Listen up,
very privileged.
everybody. Listen up. This is good conversation and good information. So, we spoke about in December last year, you were serving the banks. Can you give us a recap of what was happening then for the people?
Yeah, sure. I can do the recap, and then Peter usually picks up when I run out of recapping. He's the more in-depth guy, you know. So yes, we did serve them a final notice of demand that came from all of the trillions that they do owe the people. Because as we'll just touch on what was supposed to happen, they were given, you know, ANZ Bank, all the top banks. It was about nine banks, including the Reserve Bank, were given trillions and trillions of dollars each, hundreds of thousands. It's all in the documents on corruptionwhistleblower.com. You'll see the fine-tuning of those documents and the detailed amounts that they were actually given in 1966 and 1967. Now, they were supposed to keep that for 30 years. This is under the Alpha Omega Trust.
For the
And then
people.
they were supposed, yeah, and so then they were supposed to have interest on that for 30 years, and 50% of that interest was supposed to go to the people in, say, around 1997. But clearly that didn't happen. So, you know, now we're pretty much up to another 30 years. So they're supposed to do their second drop of money on the people, and that still hasn't happened. And they're hiding the funds, or they don't know they're there. They've got them on hidden ledgers. But we have received other documents, even after we've served them, that show that the funds have gone into their accounts. So now we're gathering together a court case and waiting just for a few more documents to come in so that we can start to put it through court. Would you want to say about
Yeah,
further to
so
that?
we'll be chasing a court order for them to return the funds to the original bank accounts. There already is a current court order out of the US for them to do so, but because we know our court system here are absolutely compromised, there's no question about that, absolutely compromised. We have to go through the processes because we don't want the banks saying, and the reason why we've been delaying is because we're waiting for a couple of documents, and we don't want to give the banks the opportunity to say or request or a court order for the originating source of the funds. Even though there is that current court order out of America requiring them to put the funds in over there. So we need our own court order here because we know that they'll probably ignore it and say, well, that's an international order. You haven't got jurisdiction here. It does. So once we get this last few pieces of paper or documents, nailing down the original source of funds, because we've got the documents that show the transactions.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. You've got this is all for everybody listening. This is evidence-backed. All of it is
Absolutely.
evidence-backed. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Look, we, as the corruption whistleblowers, we only write briefs of evidence. We don't muck around with anything that's untrue. Everything has to be proven.
Sure.
And so anyway, so that's the process at hand at the moment. So we're waiting for that to take place, and it's getting closer and closer. So once we get those final documents, we'll be filing them into the courts, requesting a court order that they return the funds, and we'll see what they do. But what we think will happen is the banks will most likely, if we can get any justice in this nation, but they will most likely break. They, without putting too much information there, they'll probably break, and the original funders of the banks will hopefully take over those banks, and then that money can go to the people who it was supposed to go to, instead of them making money a scarcity when it's actually an abundance of money in this world.
Yep.
And then things will slowly but surely tip over. But that's roughly where we're at with the money at this point. And like I said, there's already court orders.
Yep.
There's a number of them around the world, but we need our own here so we can get it reinforced here, because these bankers are, like many other people in the system, totally untrustworthy. Like, we've got the CEOs paying themselves 10 million a year, and if you can get your head around that, it's
Yeah.
800,000 a month. It's a ridiculous amount of money. And the current system relies on, like, not many people know where money actually is or how it's created.
Yep.
And for those that do know, they will surely know if they've done a bit of research that it comes from the bills of exchange. We make a promise to pay to the banks in our loans. That goes on their ledger, and then they give it back to us. So the money's uncommercialized, but we only receive principal. That is the actual creation of money under the current fiat system.
Well, $1's been used a trillion times over and over and over. Like, if people just get that idea that the same thing's being traded over and over again, the foundation of it would just collapse.
Well, it's actually worse than that, because they make money a scarcity, and it may be a little bit harder for your listeners to get their head around this because it is a little bit difficult sometimes. But when you make a loan application, that's a promissory note under the bills of exchange. That goes on their ledger. They then give you back the loan amount, the principal. So everybody's receiving the principal amount. So if money creation comes from promissory notes, where does the interest currency come from? That's the trigger. That's the biggest thing. And that's what enslaves us, is that the interest currency can only come from inflation, which our houses and our things go up every year. So that's like increased value in the market, in the monetary system, or it can only come from other people's broken loans. I take a loan for a $100,000 BMW or Mercedes-Benz. I fail to pay that loan. The loan gets re-auctioned off, but the principal's gone to the reseller or the car yard. He's paid his workers, he's paid his home loan, he's paid all his stuff with it, he's paid for his child going to school and whatever. The car gets repossessed, gets sold for 50 grand. So if you can imagine that, 50,000 from that loan is flushed into the system. And that's where our interest currency comes from. It comes from broken loans, can you believe it? So
Right. Yeah,
it's
so
a,
the
it's a
system is programmed for people to fail.
That's right. And never are they releasing the interest. So it makes money a scarcity.
Yep, sure. Wow. And what I hear with the banking, you're waiting for a couple of documents so you can lock them in tighter so there's no room for them to, no wriggle room, I suppose.
That's right.
Yeah,
That's right.
yeah. Because we know how these court systems work. They just keep either changing jurisdiction, changing different kind of concepts, and wiggling them their ways out of things.
That's right. Well, the courts are actually owned by the banks if you drill down deep enough. But that's another conversation. But they absolutely are. It's a banking system.
Yes, I've heard that many times that it's a banking system. Yeah, I get it. I get it. All right. So thank you. That's where you're at the moment is just, and for everyone listening as well, this, as you've been alluding to, it's not just happening here in Australia. This theft is worldwide for all the
Absolutely.
countries around the world. So there's more Donnas and Peters everywhere dotted around the world.
There is. They're starting to serve the banks and the other nations now. And they just sent us through a template today. And so this is what they're using, pretty much our template, because Australia was the first one to do this move. So pretty much the template that we created to hold them to task is now going around the world. And so more banksters are being served, and hopefully it can Yeah, so it's
Can
good.
I just, while we're on that topic, from the whole world, say thank you to both of you for the hard work that you've done and for creating that template. Everybody needs to know that it started here, right? It started with you two and it
Yeah.
started here in Australia. Thank you. Thank you
Yeah,
very
it did
much.
actually. You're welcome. It's our duty, really, it is.
Yeah, very much. So
And
that's all the Afro Omega Trust. If you want to know more, the videos are up on corruptionwhistleblower.com. yes.
And the thing that really comes to mind when I think about our website is the victim impact statement. So how
Yep.
has this affected you? How has, not having being able to pay a loan off, well, you lose your house, you lose your family. It's like it can be such an ongoing calamity in your life when they come and interfere and try and take your house or things don't go so well. So yeah, please put your victim impact statements. If you've had your children taken or you've had your home unlawfully repossessed, which is all the loans are unlawful, and you or you've been harmed and affected by the current criminal cartel called the Australian government regime, we would like to hear from you on the victim impact statement. And there is a template there for you
Thank
to fill
you.
in
Thank
your
you.
bits on that.
Because I was looking at that on your website and wondering what that was about. So thank you for the insight. So anybody that's been affected in any of those ways you're talking about can go to your website, download it, and fill it out, and then submit it. Yeah.
Post us the original. All the details are on that site, and they'll be part of an international court ruling soon enough. We can't
Yes.
disclose too much about that, but that's where it's heading.
And if everybody's looking at ways that they can be a part of this, there's a way.
That's
That's right.
right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Very much, very much. We've been working on about a 400-page affidavit at the moment,
Yep, can't wait
exposing
into
the
that.
criminal cartel that professes to run Australia, that really just running Australia into the ground.
Yep.
So we're all quite aware of what's happening, and the unlawful cartel that's running us. So we've proceeded to bring up key points in history that show that we have an unlawful and invalid criminal cartel running the nation.
Yep.
And we'd like to just spend some time unpacking that with you.
Please, please. I love the language as well because, it's only just recently that people have been naming it for what it is, which is a criminal cartel. If anybody just actually, realize recognize that everyone knows what the mafia is, well, just think of that. Just think of that playing around in the background, running your country.
It is.
Very
It's
much.
actually, yes, it is. Australia is a crime scene.
I love the
So I
way the
just.
language and the whole kind of
Yeah,
the whole playing field is starting to really open up and change.
it is.
All
I'll just
right.
share screen
So
while we're
why?
chatting.
Yeah, please, please. And for those listening, we're sharing screen at the moment. So I really, I just look on my socials and you'll get the videos as well so that you can have a look. Tell me why. So what is the point of putting this affidavit together?
Oh yeah, Peter's good at talking. Oh, I can talk if you want, but Peter's usually quite good at articulating this whole
Well,
halfway of it.
you two toss a coin, tell
Yeah.
me who's going to do
Well,
it.
it's part of a international court submission.
Right.
We've already given it to a few people internationally. They said 100% you're correct. So we can't disclose too much about the actions and the times of this happening right at this time, but
Cool.
this is part of it. And once we get some reports on this affidavit, professional reports, and we are actually just sent an email yesterday to get one of them, but we're getting international reports as well. We'll then give this affidavit and all the reports to file into everybody's court case. So what that'll demonstrate is that there's no law here. And it's as simple as that.
So
So
if somebody's got a court case going, this affidavit can be relied on as evidence for
not yet. Not yet.
anything.
We just we got to get the international
Eventually.
ruling. Yeah, eventually. It's probably about 3 months away.
Okay.
But it'll also come with a good handful of reports to say that it's true and correct from internationally high-level lawyers and United Nations executives.
Okay.
That's very insightful of you, Helen, to figure that out. That's exactly right. It can be used in court matters. But still, not to get people who are criminals off, because it's still do no harm. We still eventually fall back under, at the moment, international law and and common law, really. But we'll just track through this a bit.
Can we go to the pictures
And
of Billy
that's
Hill?
good
Let's
that you
start
just
there.
brought that up too, because we've had about 20 odd years, I know in my own experience, where people have been trying to, pick apart the Constitution, pick apart our legal system, pick apart all sorts of different things. But now we're getting clearer, aren't we? It just
Absolutely.
incinerates it. There's no picking apart anymore.
Oh, I love that word, incinerate. And look, everybody listening, this is something, these guys have not revealed this yet, have you?
No, we
No.
have not.
This is the first time that they're revealing the draft of what this is about. So some little bits and pieces. So
Yes.
listen up, please share with us. Go ahead.
So there are some people in the country, a small handful, that are fully aware of this, especially the Constitution. So they're aware of it, but they, the constitutionalists, and like I said, I think on the last time, we love them. But the thing is, you've got to get your argument right. They're true warriors, these people who are battling with the Constitution.
Sure.
But the Constitution was re made redundant in 1919 at the sacrifice of 60,000 odd of our military's lives. So our freedom was born on the sac on a blood sacrifice.
Okay.
And these constitutions have got to realize that if you are in a bird cage and someone opens the cage and says you can all fly out, you don't all flap around in there and say, well, let's have a referendum to see if we can fly out the door, because we were given freedom. And it was an international agreement. The United Kingdom Parliament took part in the Treaty of Versailles, or the Treaty of Peace, and signed it. Australia signed it. So at that moment, that made the Constitution Act 1900 of UK invalid and unlawful to use on the landmass known as Australia. And it's been written into international law. And once again, the constitutionalists will say, oh, we need a referendum. No, because the Constitution Act 1900 UK is owned by the UK Parliament. So if the UK Parliament go to the Treaty of Versailles with the Australian Parliament and sign an agreement, and we'll get to Section 10 of the Treaty of Versailles in a minute, and it clearly says there, each of the other members are not allowed to politically interfere on the territorial rights of any of the other members, which means the Constitution Act cannot survive here anymore.
Because it's an act of the UK Parliament. It's an act of the, so it's a foreign nation
So it
that's
cannot
enforcing.
interfere with any other nation.
Correct.
And it's interfering with our nation because
Correct.
it's and of course, when you break it down, the United Kingdom and the people who swear their allegiance to the King and the United Kingdom and the King of Australia, if they swear their allegiance to that, well, then their allegiance is not here. Their
Yes.
allegiance is to the foreign nation
Another country.
that have given themselves immunity to a
So,
certain extent.
if you can see this page that we've got up here, you can see the signatories of Billy Hughes and what was his name? Cook and
Joseph Cook, yeah.
Joseph Cook. And one of the people that went to the signing of the Treaty of Versailles, which were made plenipotentiaries, was, believe it or not, one of the guys that wrote the Constitution, which was Garran. The Constitution was written under by Quick and Garran. Well, Garran was here at the signing of this Treaty of Versailles. And so you've even got the people who wrote the Constitution going over there, sitting with the British Parliament, the owners of the Constitution, saying they cannot use that Constitution in Australia anymore under international law. And we're going to proceed a little bit further now, and we're going to show you, because we'll try and get rid of through this, because there's a lot of information here, but we'll try and
Yes.
get through the critical
Hey, and
parts.
for everybody out there, can you hear Peter's passion? My gosh, we're really on a topic that hits close to his heart. Go, Peter, you've got the floor.
Yeah, sure. So that everybody went over, there were 32 nations that originally signed the Treaty of Peace at Versailles, and they all agreed and signed the document, which was part of the Covenant of the League of Nations, which was written into international law on around the 10th of January 1920.
So this is
And we,
after World War One, isn't it? So
yeah, they're the ones who died. So they're talking about the men and service women. It wasn't even our war. We were dragged into it. It was a British war. We were dragged in on behalf of the British. So then they said, well, okay, enough service men and women have shed their blood. 66,000 or more died, and 155,000 were wounded. And they said, this gives you your sovereign independent nation status. And we break away, and we had our own international personality, and which, as it goes on into this page, was then brought back and fully ratified through our parliament, celebrated and acknowledged in the streets.
Right, gotcha, gotcha.
But then they've hidden it and continued the constitution after that. And so
Right.
that was a major problem. But as we proceed through the document, I'm sure you've heard the rumors about the Queen of Australia and so on and so forth. See,
Yes.
after the signing of the Treaty of Versailles, they worked out that the Queen could no longer reign over this place. So they had to change her title. And they changed it a few times. So you've got the Royal Styles and Titles Act 1953, and then you've got the Royal Styles and Titles Act of 1973. But however, we'll just stick with the Treaty of Peace at the moment. And so
Sure.
the founding document to the League of Nations, or the Covenant of the League of Nations, was inside that signing of the Treaty of Peace. There were 46 members, I believe, in total in the League of Nations. Unfortunately, they couldn't stop World War II, so that then became, was amalgamated into the United Nations, which now there is 196 members, so it became a much powerful force. But here you can see
This one.
the Treaty of Peace. So look, the actions of Hughes and Cook were written into Australian law by unanimously approved Treaty of Peace on the 28th of October 1919. The Australian Prime Minister advises the Australian people of the achievement of nationhood.
Yes.
And so you can see here on the screen, this is the actual Treaty of Peace, which was approved by then the Governor General. So there should have been, at that time, a transition or a new constitution written, but eventually the thing got tired and sort of ran out of steam, and they didn't do it because the British monarchy, which we call the British territorialists, have had, underpinning forces here in this country, particularly within the Labor government and the Liberal government, mainly the Labor government, that were wanted to maintain their power, and they did that. And so they
Answered my
achieved.
question because I'm thinking, well, if it was brought here to Australia and it was announced, then why didn't it go ahead? And what you're saying is because there were factions underpinning it and not
That's
wanting
correct.
it to happen. Okay.
So in this document, and we won't go too in depth in them, but they are actually the speech readings from Parliament, where they read it all out, approved it all,
Yep.
and even had agreements with new financing and those sorts of things with the British, because the British could no longer then after then give us a command. It was up to our own Parliament to create, documents to say that, yeah, we will join you, but if you want us to join you in another war, then you have to fund us for
And we had the power at that point. We had the power to be able to do that and set the rules
Well,
ourselves.
listen to this fact that we've got in here, and we have many of them.
Yep.
History clearly records that under international law, with the consent and approval of King George V and the Parliament of the United Kingdom, the owners of the Commonwealth Constitution Act 1900 UK, Australia transmuted from being a British colony and dominion under the monarch and under the sovereignty of the United Kingdom to a politically autonomous, unincorporated sovereign Commonwealth of Australia,
Wow.
independent nation state. We were assented, it was ratified, it was put through all our parliaments, it was in all of our, it just got celebrated because, like Peter's saying, we're supposed to write a new constitution, become our own nation, all of this kind of stuff. We really only used the Constitution 1900 for 20 years, and then it was defunct, it become mute. And it didn't represent the Australian people. And so, therefore, we were then ruled over by a foreign nation, which was supposed to be corrected.
Yeah, so it was given the right to have its own personality, and its own say in international affairs, rather than being, you know, a dominion, or if you recognize the language, before we were a colony, then they made us a dominion. And then slowly over time, they say, oh, the parliamentarians will say, oh, we're a independent sovereign nation. Yeah, but at which time did we? That doesn't happen gradually. There's got to be a time where the clock ticks and it goes click, 12, bang, we're a sovereign independent nation. But no one can tell you when that date is, when it's actually become that, because they've deceived us for all this time. And all of a sudden, just recently now, they're saying it. But there's got to be a time, place when it happened, and it's at 1920. And the reason they're concealing it is because they're all, I'm going to say it, they're all thieves and liars,
Thank
and
you.
they're only looking out for their own personal interests.
Yep.
And look, we can even look, it's so in your face now, and people need to work it out.
Well,
When you look
because
at their.
they've built a lot of structures on top of that, right? And so
Absolutely.
if that gets revealed, it's let's not say it's just about being thieves and liars. If the past gets revealed, then everything they've built is on sand.
It's
Very true.
absolutely on twindle sticks, that's for sure.
Got it.
So, but what I wanted to just say as a quick point of reference, like when we are driving around the streets and we see an area political vote, you know, and you see three faces up there or four faces up, you see one from the National Party, one from the Libs, the Labors, and one from the Greens potentially. And you're driving around the suburb and you see them, like they've posted all the way down the road. There's posters everywhere. But I just want to say to people, who selected those people for
Yes.
you to elect them?
Yes. Good
Who
point.
and who are they? How did they get there?
Good point.
You know,
Yes. If
and
people
so this
found
is what
out
people.
how it really is a big boys club and
It
how
is.
we're all just scratching each other's backs and they should be horrified.
That's right. And what they'll say to you is, oh, well, the people voted us in. Yeah, but you picked the people who we could vote from. It's a
Correct.
cartel.
Correct.
And if you notice, they're all sons and daughters and children of the previous political people that are there, and they just move them from state to state. That's actually what's happening.
Yep,
And
and they
so then
actually
the
all
people.
are affiliated families and affiliated schools and education and the whole lot.
Yeah. So I'll just get Donna to read out Article 10 of the, was actually the League of Nations. But
Okay.
this League of Nations document, this Article 10, was the same one they signed in the Treaty of Versailles, but it became adopted into the League of Nations and made international law about 3 months after the passing of the Parliament here in Australia in 1919. So on the 10th of January, the international law at Article 10 of the League of Nations. Do you want to read that out, Donna?
Yeah, the members of the League undertake to respect and preserve, as against external aggression, the territorial integrity, existing political independence of all members of the League in case of any such aggression or in case of any threat or danger of such aggression, the Council shall advise upon the means by which this obligation shall be fulfilled.
And this is one of the things that the League of Nations sort of failed in its responsibility, because we're 46 or 45 nations around the world signed this agreement. And as you can see in there, so it shall refrain from political interference.
And
And political
aggression.
interference,
I mean,
that's right.
this is sounding like what we're all being told when we're on hold on a phone at the moment. Don't have that aggressive behavior and whatnot, right? It's like,
Yeah.
so this back then, they were saying if there was any type of aggression, what were they alluding to there?
Well, as in police officers from another nation wearing the crown badge on our territorial lands after we were given our own personality by the blood sacrifice of our soldiers and our 150,000 or 60,720 soldiers that were mutilated in the First World War and the 155,000 injured. They sacrificed their freedoms, their lives for our freedoms. And
Yep.
that's why we were giving a standing on the panel of the Treaty of Peace
Yep.
signed at Versailles. And that was then adopted into the League of Nations. But the League of Nations sort of became a little bit powerless because you got the power of the British territorialists maneuvering over these nations still, but it's against international law. And so when we're talking about political interference, if we said that the UK Parliament signed this document and the Australian Parliament signed this document, how on earth is the are the policemen wearing the crown badge on the land of Australia when it's one of these members?
And there they what do they do when they pull you over the side of the road? If you don't comply, you get your window smashed. We know people have been dragged out of their cars, left by the side of the road to walk home in the middle of the night, with leaving women on the side of the road to somehow find their way home in the middle of the night. They're the acts of aggression that are on our soil, whilst them and the police and their bosses have sworn allegiance to the parliamentarians. So they swear their allegiance off to the UK. Oh, King, live long and prosper, wonderful King. And we've got word for word the allegiance that they swear in here, whilst they trample and by swearing that allegiance, as we're digging into the Constitution and other things, it gives them a certain immunity. So that they can't be sued and can't be hassled, and we can't know their full names and all this kind of secrecy that they're allowed to hide behind because they've sworn their allegiance to the crown.
So they see that as a power of another jurisdiction that they're in.
Absolutely. So what we'll do now, we'll travel down to Article 18. And so there's always got to be the ability for one nation to say another nation can run its laws here. So when you look at Article 18, and if we can just get Donna to read that out for us. So Article 18 basically is saying that if you want to use your laws and your rules or have an agreement that must be registered with the League of Nations. And I'll just get Donna to read out Article 18, what it says.
Every treaty or international engagement entered into hereafter by any member of the League shall be forthwith registered with the Secretariat and shall, as soon as possible, be published by it. No such treaty or international engagement shall be binding until so registered.
Oh
So
my gosh.
what we've got is we've got so there's no agreement there being put there. They're just using their laws here. The Constitution is dead in the water after our blood sacrifice in World War One, and we were given that freedom by the British people. And this is where the constitutionalists clearly get it wrong. If we open the birdcage and say, okay, hey, other birdies, should we have a conversation and a vote to see if we're going to fly out? They're giving us our freedom. And we were given our freedom in 1919 for that sacrifice. But Article 20 of the League of Nations, I'll just get Donna to read that out.
The members of the League severely agree that this covenant is accepted and abrogating all obligations or understandings inter se, which are inconsistent with the terms thereof, and solemnly, let me go to the top of the page, undertake that they will not thereafter enter into any engagements inconsistent with the terms thereof.
So that's basically saying to you that you cannot make any future agreements that will overrule unless it's registered and there's been.
I'm just shaking my head here because the last two articles that she's read out are saying that if they're going to make any agreements that are any different, they have to register them. They have to
That's right.
lodge it with the League of Nations, and they can't, circumvent that. But that's
That's correct.
exactly what they've done.
Yes, that's right.
So we'll move on a little bit further now because what happened in when World War II came along, the League of Nations, and hold on, I'll just go back here, my apologies. So here's all the members that signed the Covenant of the League of Nations. You can see Australia,
The
Canada,
Treaty of Peace, yeah,
Treaty of
back in
Peace.
1919.
All
See,
the
we're all
countries
on there.
involved.
Don't worry, it's the same for Canada, same for New Zealand.
And so they got a Queen of New Zealand and Canada got a Queen of Canada, which obviously there's no office in those countries for in those countries like in Australia, there's no office for the Queen of Australia. There's no crown for the Queen of Australia.
Have you met her?
No.
No. Because
No.
we've got the Queen of England, but the Queen can only be the Queen over one dominion, can only be the Queen of England. She can't be the same Queen, can't be the Queen of Australia, the Queen of Canada, the Queen of New Zealand, the Queen of.
And so here we've
They're going to
also
stick
got
to
on
their
this.
own territories.
Absolutely. When you sign that covenant, you had to stay on your own turf. And you
Yes.
also had to protect the other people's turf who were members of that covenant from any political interference.
Sure.
And so we've got, in this document, contemporary scholar confirms independent nationhood. So we've got a lot of documents, but we won't dig into that too deep. But
But basically, somebody here in Australia could have gone to the League of Nations and said, "Hey, the British territory is stepping on our shore and is doing this, 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 and this," and they could have lodged, some sort of objection, and it could have been dealt with.
That's right. That's right. So then we come along to
But there was some blocks to that. You had to be a sovereign independent, people didn't know they were a sovereign independent nation state. You had to take it through the Governor General or something, wasn't it? They
Yeah,
don't worry,
generally.
they had all their little gatekeepers there, so it wasn't quite that easy.
Yes.
Gotcha.
But
Yep.
it's
Yeah.
become but it has become easier because of some actions that Don and I and some
Some
other
people
great
like
people
you
that have
two are
helped us.
doing. Okay. Yes.
So
Yes.
then what happened is 1945 came along and the end of the war. And so then they created the United Nations and they thought to themselves, we're going to have to, the League of Nations became a toothless tiger. So we're going to start the United Nations, but we're going to adopt all its principles into the Charter of the United Nations, which it didn't. We're going to go through them in a minute and show you where they are.
It just became a good opportunity for them to start reworking everything.
Yes. But
Right.
once again, people in court cases that have been held in this country, particularly one in 99, where it was run before one of the despicable High Court judges who makes one decision one day and then makes another decision the next day and then
Opposite
opposite
decision.
the day after. And we've actually got these court cases in this document here. But however, in 1945, the same as in 1919, Australia and England were founding members of the Covenant of the League of Nations, but we were also founding members of the Charter of the United Nations. We were founding members, and that was run through our parliament here. And
So it turned into an act. It turned into an act for Australia that we were an independent sovereign nation state. So,
it was passed into what we would call domestic law. And
and who did
so,
that?
sorry.
And who did that? Who was the country at the
I can't
time?
remember his first name. It was something or other Ford and another gentleman. They went over there. But the United Nations is a group of people that have been actually torn into. You do have a good side, but you've got a bad side there. So they're
Okay.
wrestling with each other as
Yep.
we speak.
Right.
But it was actually passed into international, passed into domestic law. And I'll just bear with me a second.
Legislative for ratification was effective through the enactment of the Charter of the United Nations, which received royal assent on the
And so you can
whatever.
see it here. See, it's got the
Yeah, where
Australian
is that?
kangaroo and emu on there.
Where is that? Oh, there you go. It's sort of there. And it's got all their stamps and stuff on it. There it is, around there. There.
Radio,
So it's
radio,
got
yeah.
all their fake seals and everything on it.
So if you go into section 4 of that document, it says this act binds the Crown, which means they have to follow the rules that are in the covenant that are
Once
in the.
again, yeah, there's more rules in place.
That's right. And so they were becoming founding members. So Australia and United Kingdom became founding members. And so when the Act binds the Crown, it means the Crown's got to apply what it is. And that means write a new constitution.
Okay.
Because and if you can see here, we've got also here in the Act's interpretation, section 2A, which tells you what binds the Crown. And it
Huh.
binds the Crown in all its aspects, binds the government, binds its workers, binds all of them. They must comply with this United Nations Charter.
Okay. Yep. And
And
that means you, Mr. Policeman.
means, Mr. Police, but the thing is, what the policemen are supposed to, not just the policemen, see, the policeman at the moment can't apply for, abide by it because he's wearing the Crown badge. This is the problem. So, what we're going to do is we're going to have a look here now, and we have written in this document here to attorney generals and ask them what does Act bind the Crown?
Okay.
And I'll let Donna read out what does the Act bind the Crown? Can you just go back to the paragraph that I wrote to them and read it out?
Yep. When I'll just go back to
I
the
wrote
bottom of
to
this.
I wrote we wrote to the six or seven attorney generals, and
Yes.
only two responded to us, but they actually gave us the answer that when the Act binds the Crown, it means I'll just get Donna to read it out.
So this is
So to
Peter
the
Hawke
one,
that
yeah,
she
this is the,
yeah,
so
this
we're
is
writing to
Hawke.
the Attorney General, all the Attorney Generals we wrote to. So please, can you confirm below the below status of the specific expressed words in certain acts, namely the following: Act binds the Crown in the right of the Commonwealth of each state, of Australian Capital Territory and the Northern Territory. Am I correct in assuming when an Act of Parliament legislation expressed the words binds the Crown, it means that all governments, including all its departments, ministers, agents, and statutory bodies, must comply with the law just like ordinary citizens and companies. Now, what that's saying is that, of course, they give themselves the same immunity that the Crown has. You have to take it to one of their courts to try and, you know, you're one of their courts that they're all in, or with their mates, but to try and get any justice.
So why I was asking that question, because this act binds the crowns in the Charter of the United Nations passed into domestic law in this country. So we wrote this to the to a couple of, or to six or seven of the attorney generals, and two of them responded and basically said, not basically, have said, yes, you are correct, especially the Tasmanian one. And so we have these letters here saying that that I am correct. Let's travel a little bit further down. We're now going to have a look at Article 2, Paragraph 1 and Paragraph 4 of that United Nations Charter. And I'll just get Donna to read it out.
I'll just read it quickly. I know I haven't got much time left. So Article 1, the purpose of the United Nations are to maintain. Do you want Article 1 or
No,
Article 2?
Article 2, Paragraph 1 and 4.
Oh, sorry. The organisation of its members is Article 2. In pursuant of the purpose stated in Article 1, shall act in accordance with the following principles. So number one is the organisation is based on the principles of the sovereign equality of all its members. Peace and security and justice are not endangered.
So, have we got political independence here when
Oh my God, political sovereignty. I mean, they're trying to bastardize the word sovereignty out there in the world at the moment.
that's right. So with the Constitution Act of 1900 on our turf, our federal parliament swearing an allegiance to the Constitution or to the Queen of England, or and the in the sovereignty of the United Kingdom. That means they're trespassing here. They're trespassers, and under international law, they're trespassing. But the people of the nation don't know it because they got us on the hamster wheel, and we haven't had a chance to actually have a look at this and pull it all apart. But we have, and
And
this
what
is
you're
where.
saying tonight, like everything, every step you've been through is that there's just evidence that they've broken the rules. They've broken the
We
rules over and over again.
absolutely. They're terrorists. Unfortunately, we have a terrorist regime running this nation, and it's so easy to prove. But the problem we've got is we've got people like David McBride, who was a courageous whistleblower, blowing the whistle on Brenton Robert Smith and a number of other ones, that they were killing farmers over there, and he had the video footage of it. But because he stole their secrets and gave it to the media, now you're going to jail for 5 years for stealing the secrets for being a whistleblower. So this is a serious problem in this nation. So anyway, so I'll just get Donna to read out paragraph 4 of Article 2. Can you read that out?
All members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or use of force against territorial integrity or political independence of any state, or in any other manner inconsistent, yeah, hang in there, inconsistent with the purpose of the United Nations.
So the United Nations is based on
It's
sovereign independence.
a double whammy.
Oh, it goes on and on. Hey, guess what? I figured out who the sovereign citizen is. So who's sovereign? Who says they're sovereign? The queen. The queen's the sovereign, isn't
Or the
she?
king.
Or the king? The king or the queen? The monarch. They're the sovereign. But who's a British citizen as well? The king or the queen. So they're the ultimate sovereign
Sovereign
citizen, the king and
citizen.
the queen. Because they're pretending to be sovereign over us, but they're also coming under like a British citizen. So don't think you're a sovereign citizen. You're not. Only the Queen's a sovereign citizen.
And the
We'll
reason that
leave
they're
her with that
citizens,
title. Yes.
believe
Leave her with that title.
yeah, and the reason they're citizens because they're British subjects, and under the Act of Settlement, we won't have time to go into that today, but under the Act of Settlement, they are actually British citizens.
Okay. Yeah.
Of course, the Queen's subordinate to the United Kingdom Parliament. She's not in charge of it. She's subordinate. She can't leave the country. She has to ask it. She's, and so, we find out she's not even supposed to be coming over signing anything. That's just another whammy. Yes.
Yes. So
Yeah.
if you can imagine, so Article 10 became Article 10 in the Covenant of the League of Nations became Article 2 in the Charter of the United Nations. And Article 18 became Article 103 or 102 in the Charter of the United Nations, which says basically the same thing. If you're going to use your laws on another nation, then you must register it. And
Absolutely. Absolutely.
if
Yeah.
you've
And
got
have
any
it over.
agreement before, you have to do all your efforts to get rid of it because the Charter of the United Nations reigns supreme,
And
which
it also
means that.
tells you how you're supposed to behave as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's right.
Correct. And so we've also got these two United Nations resolutions, 1965 and 1970, which clearly indicates that, and I'll just get Donna to read it out
Well, we
here.
haven't got much time left.
Yeah. So it's
We've
basically
got
to get rid of
11
colonial.
minutes. We're doing all
You've got
right.
to get these resolutions saying that we have to get rid of colonial powers.
Yeah, it's instructing us to get rid of the colonial powers, which we've already done, but clearly they haven't abided by.
They keep wiggling their way in here.
Yes.
So, again, the Australian government keeps perverting the course of justice.
Well, it's
And
also
so.
putting up a false flag that gets everybody distracted and confused about what's going on.
I bet you no one can point a finger at how much Australia donates to the United Nations every year. And I'll tell you, it's $5 billion. And here's the chart here. That's how much we donate to the United Nations programs, $5 billion. So for them to donate, and that's from our taxpayers' money, and not comply, they're
Yeah.
war crimes.
Yeah.
They're committing war crimes against
What are
the
we
people.
donating that money for?
Well,
Exactly.
they're for rebuilding projects. I don't necessarily have too much of an issue with it, but we don't have any accountability of where it's going and what it's doing. But that we really just put that in there for people like Justice Hayne that said it hasn't been passed into domestic law, and that was in a High Court case in 1999 against some very courageous people who wrote the book called The Concealed Colony. And basically, the High Court justices are just running over these facts. But we're here to express these facts and tell everybody that we have a government that doesn't comply with international law
That's right.
and it does what it wants.
And
And
doesn't comply with human rights or
yes.
any kind of other bill of rights or anything like that. And while the constitutionalists keep pushing the constitution and want the people back under as British subjects, that seems to not be the correct direction either. It's
Yes.
really a matter of noting that we are a sovereign, independent nation state and doing a new constitution and holding the people who have been lying to us to account.
So this criminal cartel has been in the background the whole time, and every time the rest of the world is trying to get them to conform and comply and stick to the rules, they've just been ducking and weaving along the way.
Very much, very
Absolutely.
much.
But their time is near, that's for sure.
Well, because we've got people like you that are putting it all together in a sequence, and yeah, and with the evidence, and you're not the only ones, right?
No,
The
that's right. And people, if they can do that again, coming back to the victim impact statement, would be greatly appreciated because that's how I know it seems like we're talking about 1920 and that, but it's gone on for 106 years, and that's why there's no law on this land. That's why we've been invaded by a
These
foreign
territorialists.
nation. Yeah, we've been and they're swearing their allegiance to that. So that's why they don't have the best interest of Australia and the Australian people at heart, because they're basically UK mob.
Yeah, and making up their own rules. So we're
Making
looking at
up their
court
own rules
systems.
without accountability.
We're looking
Yeah.
at court systems and court systems here. We're looking for justice, and nobody's getting it.
You can't get it.
Nobody's
It's not
getting it
here.
because, as you
This
said
is.
earlier, their banking systems now. I even went to court recently with someone. It was a family court issue. And the judge clearly said this out loud. The father hasn't got much. He's going broke. His business isn't making a whole lot of money. The wife, she got some money, but she spent it all. So she hasn't got much left. And you could see her weighing it up. And she's like, in the background, you could hear her clicking away, going, there's no money to keep a court case going for too long. So let's do a trial and let's get it sorted because that way we're going to use up the rest of the money that they got, and that'll be the end of the story.
That's right.
So
There was
good.
no
Nothing
one will be
about
left
the
with anything.
family, the
No.
property, the children. It was about who had what funds left and how long can this thing run.
Yeah, because
That's
they're
right.
all bankrupt. They're all not. Well, they're all. The government basically is bankrupt as far
Well,
as
she was just looking at it as a financial transaction.
yeah,
That's all
it
she
is.
was doing. And I saw it
Corporate
quite
banking.
clearly, and I was horrified.
Yeah, that's right.
You won't get any justice in these courts, and that's why we've been forced to go international.
And
Yeah,
that's
we're not
why
taking.
they. Oh, yeah, we're not taking this to these courts.
Yeah.
These courts will be implied in it. It's about these courts. We
Yeah.
can't take it to these courts. That's why we have to go to ICC, ICJ, whatever that looks like overseas. We're bolstered by other people, international lawyers' reports about our document. So we're just putting it through the proofreading now and tidying it up. And we will be, getting the other people around, international lawyers and other people overseas, to give their opinion on it, and we'll be putting all of that, as well as the victim impact statements,
Yep.
into the court for people. So if you feel you haven't been heard in this nation, please send some through victim
Please,
impact statements. Yeah,
absolutely.
because a lot of us have gone through courts and been shafted.
Yep, and it's going to become evidence for you guys as well. So
That's
that's how
right.
vitally important it is.
Very much,
I
Ellen.
can't say it loud enough or enough, really, for people to get on your website and do that. And the link will be here with the show notes as well. So
Yeah,
tell
very
me, how
kind.
do you find the good guys when you said ICC? What is that?
International Criminal Court and
Yeah.
International Court of Justice is the ICJ.
Right. How do you find the good guys?
With great difficulty and they're with great secrecy.
Right. Yes. Yes.
There's a few because they can see how filthy it is as well. Often they're ex-participants in it in some way. So, that's gone. Yeah,
Yes.
we're done.
Okay, so everyone's just quietly stepping into the corridors to the side, and you're all kind of meeting and, quietly getting some things ready. Yes?
That's
Yeah,
correct. Yes.
because we want some big movement from proving this. We're not just going to come back with a bit of fanfare. We want to come back with, basically military style arrests for
Right.
the perpetrators of this.
Yeah. Gosh, this
Yeah.
is big stuff.
Yeah, it
This
is.
really like historical time stuff that's going on
Yeah.
right now. I hope people really start to understand how incredibly vital it is that we start seeing the truth of what's really going on, and, get your heads out of the sand, guys.
Yeah.
And not only that, this is the most prosperous nation in the world,
It
and
is.
yet we've
Oh.
got our own people living on the street. It's
Oh.
if we were in one of the couple of these other nations around the world, and I can't bring them to mind at the moment, but there's no tax there, and they all get payments every year.
Dubai and Qatar, there's no tax. They're countries that are
And yeah.
running on
Was
their own
Denmark as
resources.
well, I think. Yeah.
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 And I mean, you may have heard of the WA secession. There's been a manifesto written by two professors of economics here in Australia, a lawyer, and also Professor Ian Brighthope, who I've had on the show. I'm tracking down a couple of them at the moment. I want to talk to them about secession because they've realised the same thing that you guys have, that the British territory has no say in what we do here, and they want to pull WA out of and create it as its own country,
Yeah,
separate from the
could
rest of
be.
Australia. And they're going to
Yeah.
start,
They could stand on this work eventually when this
yes.
work gets through. They could stand on this too.
And they've already put a manifesto together, and they've got some cages rattling because two professors of economics figured out the economics of this entire country and how it could run if 65% of the bureaucracy was gone.
Oh, absolutely. That's a hallelujah moment when that happens.
Yes. Yes, they
Yep.
realize just how much for WA, they've got about $10 billion a year in their resources going directly to the east coast of Australia and to Canberra in particular. And they're
Wow.
sick of it.
let alone the complete rape and pillage of the land through the mining that we
Their
see, not hysteric
resources.
of,
Their
you know.
resources. Absolutely.
So
So
it's
I love what you're doing because you're attacking it from one angle. I'm just seeing others, you know, it's not just now about people wanting to be sovereign and separate and have the chooks out the back and the veggie
Yeah.
garden.
No.
This is now becoming a very intellectual, very educated, very professional play at serious change in this country, in the world.
Absolutely. And we won't stop it until we get it.
And that's why they want to brand people who start to know the truth and dig in with these silly brand names that we reject adamantly. We're not sovereign citizens at all. That's the Queen. She's a sovereign citizen, not me, not us at all. So we reject those titles, and we press on and say that please continue to see this happening, have it in a vision with us, share the vision, and we are safe with each other as best we can be, and we just pray that no ill will comes towards us.
Well, my focus is always on the new world. The new world that we're creating. And I want to reassure people on top of what you just said, you better start figuring out how incredibly creative we are and what we're capable of. Because if you focus entirely on that new world full of kind, loving human beings, then nothing else can touch you. And I can't stress that strongly enough. I've had enough experiences in my own lives, and you may have too. It's like it just that old corruption and whatever, it can't come near you. And if
That
we just,
we and the light keeps shining in and showing us where it is.
that's it.
Say,
That's
there it is,
it.
there it is, there it is, and this is how you deal with it now. Whereas we were a bit
Yes.
kind of confused before, you know,
That's
but
a
now that.
great way of explaining it. Thank you very much. Yeah, the light is just exposing it and also giving us the ideas and the imagination as well as what to do
And
with
if people want to read a prelude to this document, they can get the Concealed Colony because we really are standing on the shoulders of those incredible men and women who did that. The
the
Concealed
concealed
Colony is a
colony.
fantastic document. It's literally like a prelude reading to what we're about to launch. And we've got a lot of facts from there as well. So we're very appreciative to those people and we definitely acknowledge them in every
Fantastic.
way.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we've got 40 seconds to go. So, boy, did we fly through all of that? Thank you.
It's great work.
It was.
Yeah,
When we got started, we
there's
weren't
so
sure
much
what we were going
more.
to get through, but thank you. Thank you. Like, you've just
Yeah.
kept this thing moving the whole way through. And, you know, I love also that the two brothers that run the BBS radio platform have AI involved in what they're doing as well. So they actually get the show. And once it's gone live, it AI breaks it down, does a beautiful summary. So
Oh,
everything
great.
you've been talking about will just be summarized under little topics and stuff, which will make it
Excellent.
a bit more succinct for some people because, yeah, it's pretty heavy stuff, but, you know, people need to know this stuff.
They do. They do, unless they want to be in a digital prison.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a great way to finish
Just
off.
saying.
That's a great way to finish off, Donna. Thank you very much. Thank you, both of you. I love what you're doing. And boy, you think you're standing on the shoulders of giants? You've got a queue waiting up behind you, I think.
So much. Thank
Thank
you so
you.
much. It's so beautiful, Helen, and bless you and your audience. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Thank you both. Thank you so much. Okay.
Our pleasure.
See you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye for now. We'll catch you soon.